All right, if you have your Bibles this morning, we'll be looking at the book of Timothy. It's towards the end of the New Testament. If you don't have a Bible, there should be a, what we call a pew Bible. They're a black hardback, and some towards the back there we have what we call pew Bibles. It says Holy Bible on it. It's towards the end, the New Testament, 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 1, and we're going to be looking at a couple of verses there this morning. Looking at the mission of motherhood, the mission of motherhood. In 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5, it says, "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee." This is talking to Timothy. This is the apostle Paul talking to him. "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also." Oh, the value of a godly lady. Someone once said that the most influential position in the nation today is held by godly ladies. She enforces the law, practices medicine, and teaches without degrees, certificates of competence, or required training. She handles the nation's food, administers its drugs, practices emergency first aid, and tests for all the spiritual, physical, and mental ills of the American family. A man literally places his life and the lives of his children in the hands of a godly lady. Her influence has no limit. The woman may mark the pathway for generations to come. She can be the key to success or failure in her children's lives. Down in Kentucky, many years ago, lived a sweet-tempered Christian lady. There were many things she did not know. But she did know the Bible. She used to tell her little boy Bible stories as they sat by the fire in their home. She did not know science, but she loved nature and she told her little boy the glory of God in this world. She did not understand philosophy, but she told her boy the worst thing in this world was to be a hypocrite, while the noblest thing in this world was to be a good, godly, honest man. Her boy grew up to become president of the U.S. His name was Abraham Lincoln. After his mother's death, he said, "All I am and all I ever will be, I owe humanly to my angel mother." This book, 2 Timothy, is an interesting book. You'll notice, and it's the second epistle. This is more than likely the last words of the Apostle Paul written to us that we have today. And in fact, in chapter 4, Paul says this, "I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and at his kingdom, preach the word." And then later in that passage, he says this, this is the Apostle Paul in verse 7 of chapter 4, "I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith." And then in verse 6, right before that, he says, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand." Most believe these are the last words that the Apostle Paul wrote of any of his words is 2 Timothy. Timothy is an interesting story, an interesting study. You should study it sometime. It's believed that in Acts chapter 14, Paul went to a place called Lystra. It was a town called Lystra. And it's believed that more than likely, Timothy's grandmother, Lois, and his mom, Eunice, were saved there in the town of Lystra. Paul was miraculously healed a man, an impotent man, and the town, and then he was preaching. They believed that probably Grandma Lois and his mom Eunice were saved. And more than likely, and you'll see it in the text, Timothy's dad was not a believer. That's what most believe. He was not a believer. So here was a godly grandmother and a godly mother, and they have a young Timothy. Timothy, according to historians, and it's recorded in Fox's Book of Martyrs. There's some debate on it. But Timothy, they believe, became, some say he was a preacher, some say he was an evangelist, some say he was a missionary, but he was a preacher of the gospel. You see that in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and 1 Timothy chapter 2. The apostle Paul took him under his wing and he trained him. He trained him, he became a strong man in the word of God. And you see that portrayed by the apostle Paul. But most of that was can be attributed not just to the apostle Paul, but because of a godly grandmother and a godly mother. Fox's Book of Martyrs says that Timothy died in 97 AD, most believe as a martyr. That's why he's in Fox's Book of Martyrs. Timothy was there in a town, and Fox's states this, that Timothy was murdered when he told of crowd of pagans. They were doing a festival, and there were some ungodly practices in that festival. And Timothy told that crowd of pagans that the idolatrous celebration was ridiculous, and that it was pagan, and that it was against godliness. And it said, according to Fox's Book of Martyrs, that they took him and beat him to death. Timothy, and you may say, wow, what a waste. No, I'm reading about Timothy today, and we lift him up because he had character, he had principle, and he was willing to lay his life down for the principles of God's word. How did that all happen? A godly grandmother and a godly mother. That's what we see here in this text. In this text, we see Timothy, and what does Paul tell him? It says in verse 3, so let's go back to our text, and then we'll just have a few simple points this morning, trying to look at what is the mission of motherhood? What makes a Timothy? And so hopefully, moms and grandmas, this will inspire you. In verse 3, it says, I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day. And this is talking to Timothy. Greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. And then he says, what I call to remembrance, the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that it in thee also. Wherefore, I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker. Think of his ending. Notice what Paul says. Be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. Look at verse 9. Who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling. Heavenly Father, I pray that you bless us this morning as we look at a couple of thoughts in regards to the mission of motherhood. Lord, I pray that it could be a challenge this morning to moms, or in a day and age when motherhood is kind of maligned, when it's not really popular to be a mom that stays home and takes care of those necessary things in the home. Lord, instead, it's minimized, it's trivialized. Lord, it's mocked at. Lord, I thank you for good moms that don't listen and follow the worldly advice. Lord, they stay home. And Lord, they bring the Bible to their children. They try to instruct them like a Timothy, so that a Timothy can go out and be a preacher for you. I thank you, Lord, for this testimony of Lord Grandma Lois and Mother Eunice. I pray that it could be a testimony and instruct us this morning. As always, Lord, do that which I can't, and that is speak to hearts. We ask and claim your power in Jesus' name. Amen. A couple of things. First of all, in that verse 5, it says, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee. So if you're going to be a mother, what is one of your missions as a mother? First of all, you need to have a sincere faith. You have to have a proven faith, a faith that is genuine. That word sincere, or that word on faith, means non-hypocritical. It's an interesting word. It also means sincere. Now, in the Latin, there's an interesting story that goes along with, which helps us understand sincerity or sincere. When you go back into this time era, you had a lot of guys that were potters. They would be shopkeepers, and they would make pottery. And there would be shopkeepers that in their pottery, they would be hypocritical, right? They would be unfeigned, or they would be feigned. They would have feigned pottery. So what does that mean? Well, what they would do is, you know, a potter makes something, and then he puts it into a kiln. He fires up a kiln, and he puts it in there, and that pottery then is hardened. It is tempered by that fire. Well, if the pottery has some faults in it, when it goes into the fire, sometimes it can have cracks. So what some of the shopkeepers would do is they would take that pottery, they would mix up some wax, something that would fill in the cracks, and then they would paint it over. And so the pottery was not good, it was feigned. Right? It was not sincere. It was insincere. And so they would put it out there and people would buy it. They'd take it home and then they put something in there and then put it in the fire, and all of a sudden it's not really good. It's cracked. And they come back and they're like, hey, you know what? You bought it. Right? You touched it. You bought it. Right? Well, good shopkeepers, honest shopkeepers, would put a sign outside of their businesses that would say sincere. That word sincere meant without wax. Without wax. So what was it saying? It's genuine. It's for real. All right? This has been tried. It's been proven. And so as a mother, this is my challenge to you. In 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5, it says, you need to have an unfeigned faith. Notice what it says. Which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois, and then in thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. So notice this faith that Timothy had, he got it from grandma and mom. Because they had a sincere faith. Moms, could I challenge you this morning to have a genuine faith? What does a genuine faith mean? It means it's a faith that is in the present. It's present even in the dark. It's a 24/7 faith. It's a faith that's the real deal. It's not just a Sunday morning faith. It's not just a Sunday night faith. It's not just a Wednesday or Thursday faith. It's a faith that is there all the time. And you'll notice what type of faith that is genuine for us. It tells us in the text, go down a little bit. Notice in verse 11 of the text, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know who I am believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Who is the he there? Who is he believing in? Jesus Christ. And this morning, as a mom, the only way you will have a genuine faith is if it is resting, first of all, in Christ. If your faith is in yourself, I'm sorry, it's going to be insincere. It's going to sit on that shelf, and it's going to be cracked. It's going to be not complete. But with Jesus Christ, he makes us have a complete faith. In Jesus Christ, you can trust in him today, and you can have a genuine faith. You may have been trusting in works. You may have been trusting in going to church. You may even say, well, I've been a member of this church for 40 years. Hallelujah. I'm glad you're a member of a church, but that doesn't get you to heaven. What gets you to heaven is trusting, committing your trust in Jesus Christ. That's what Paul said. Paul said, I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able. Jesus Christ is able to do what? He is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. I can't do it myself, but Jesus Christ can. Jesus Christ is where your faith should rest. Secondly, notice in verse 13, it tells us the second thing your faith should rest on. Hold fast the form of sound words. What are sound words? He explains what those sound words are a little bit later in this book in chapter 3 in verse 16, where he says all scripture, that's the words, is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. So what does a sincere faith look like, Mom? When you trust in Jesus Christ, you're going to have sincerity of faith. When your children know that Jesus Christ is a part of your life, that's a sincere faith. And then also a sincere faith when you hold Christ's words to be very important in your life. You know what it should be, moms? Your children should know, and it should be very obvious, who is number one in their life. And it's not your kids, it's Christ. Christ is number one. Christ is preeminent. They should see you in God's word. They should hear you praying. They should know that there is a mom that has a genuine, real, 24/7 faith. That's what produces a Timothy. It's a sincere faith. Notice another thing here. It's not just a sincere faith. It's note in verse 5, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that is in thee also. You can go down to verse 14. It says, that good thing which was committed unto thee. So it's not just a sincere faith, it's a steering faith. Now, what do we mean by that? It's a faith, Mom, that you are shaping and building somebody else in your home. Did you notice that Paul said, I believe that the faith of grandma and mom is in you. What does it mean? It was passed down, wasn't it? Moms, are you passing your faith down to your children? That's not going to happen accidentally. It's going to happen on purpose. Just like Josh, I appreciated that testimony. On purpose. This is what it means, Mom. It means that your children know that we gather around the Word of God. When's the last time you gathered around the Word of God, families? You wonder why the Word of God isn't important in your home when you don't gather around it. God's important on Sunday. But I guess Monday night and Tuesday night, we can't read the Word of God, my show's on. So yeah, guess what's more important than Christ? Guess what's more important than the Word of God? You're steering your children. Oh, you're shaping them. You're shaping them because what you're showing them is what's most important. And what's most important? Oh, my show. You say, well, I don't know much about God's Word. You don't have to know a lot about God's Word. Open it up. We even have a bookstore that we stock with all kinds of things to try to help you. What do we do? Why do we put that down there? We have devotional books. We have family books. We have little cards that you can review monthly habits and monthly thoughts, all kinds of things. I have a staff here that studies, and we study the Word of God, and we study and work on different things, and we purposely put things into that bookstore. Why are we doing all that? Because we want to steer you even. Right? Because our faith has motivated us to steer you, and so that you as families can steer your home. It's not my job to raise your children. And I have Bible to back that up. It is not my job to raise your children. It is my job to be a pastor and to lead and guide the flock. And I steer and I try to help you, but I can't force you to have devotions. I can't force you to eat and to love this book. But what I can do is lift it up and lift it up and lift it up until finally you say, you know what? I'm going to find a church that doesn't like the book so much. And you're going to find some knucklehead pastor that's out there, and he got a hold of the Reader's Digest this week, and he's like, let me tell you a story. And he never is in this book. He doesn't know a thing about this book. He doesn't care about this book. He just wants you to feel good and drop some money into his offering plate. But this book is what we're about here. And this book we're going to lift up, and this book is so important to us that we want to pass it down to families so that you can steer your home. You can shape your children with God's Word. Moms, are you having a faith that's sincere? Do you have a faith that is shaping or steering faith? Pastor was sharing a story. It was very similar to Josh's testimony. So I'll call him the Smith home. And one of the things, this is his words, he says, one of the things I loved about growing up a Smith was the behavior of my mom and dad. There were things we didn't have to ask our parents. First, we never asked if we were going to church. It was modeled for us. Our parents set the standard. The Smith family was three to thrive. That was an old saying in the 80s. Three to thrive was this. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Three to thrive. That's why Baptists traditionally have always had a lot of services. The neo-evangelicals gripe about this, right? But Baptists have always been stronger in the Bible. You know why? Because we're in the book more. And we teach it and we preach it more. I don't just come for a little ditty at 7:30 on Saturday night, or, you know, I got my one service in. No, I want to be at church services a lot. Why? Because this book is important to me. I need to learn it. I need to live it. All right? And so this pastor Smith was saying about that. Three to thrive. We went to church Sunday morning, Sunday evening, Wednesday evening. Come Sunday morning, you rolled out of bed, or we were rolled out. We went to church Sunday morning, and the afternoons were ours, and we could play a little bit. However, at some point Sunday afternoon, the car horn blew, and Dad's call came. He said, in parentheses, I mean yell. And cell phones didn't exist. We ran home, cleaned up, dried off, jumped in the car, went to church as a family. He said, I have my parents to thank for being faithful in church today. They set a pattern. They set a standard. What were they doing? They were shaping, steering. So, in our text here, in 2 Timothy, let me keep going. So let me go. There's another passage that shows Timothy and his grandma and mom. It's in Acts 16. So if you know where the book of Acts is, turn there. Acts 16 is where we're introduced to grandma and mom in Acts 16. In Acts 16 and verse 1, it says, then came he, and this is Paul, to Derbe and Lystra. So that's why we believe that And you can read chapter 14 and you'll see that Paul was in Lystra. And you'll see in chapter 16 and verse 1, it seems to indicate that grandma and mom were already saved. So look what it says. And behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus. So that's Timothy. That's the book we're reading in 2 Timothy. The son of a certain woman, which was a Jewess. We find out her name in 2 Timothy. Her name was Eunice. And believed, but his father was a Greek. And what that meant by it, he was a Gentile. It seems to indicate that he was not saved. Which was well reported of by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium. Him would Paul have to go forth with him, and took and circumcised him because of the Jews which were in their quarters, for they knew all that his father was a Greek. And as they went through the cities, they delivered them the decrees for to keep that which were ordained of the apostles and elders which were at Jerusalem. Notice in verse 5, and so were the churches established in the faith and increased in number daily. Why did that happen? Because of Paul and because of this guy named Timothy. And who helped Timothy? Paul did, yes. But there was two ladies in his life. Grandma Lois and his mom Eunice. So this is, in this passage, what are you seeing? And even in Timothy, the book of 1 and 2 Timothy, you know what you'll notice about Timothy? He was very strong in the Word of God. So here's my third point. We only have two left, right? So hang on. So if you're going to be a good mom, you have a sincere faith. You have a steering or shaping faith. That means you're trying to shape your children. Then also, and this is, I think, an encouragement to some of you moms that are here that you struggle sometimes in the family realm. All right, Eunice had a strong faith. And it wasn't backed up by dad or by her husband. And let me encourage you, moms, some of you. You're by yourself. This should encourage you. There's a Timothy here. You know why Timothy's here? Because he had a mom and grandma. Where's dad at? I don't know. I believe he's an unbeliever. I don't believe he's saved. But mom got a hold of Christ. And so did grandma. And grandma said, we believe in this Christ. We believe strongly. We will follow God. And here's this, God sent this apostle Paul here. And we're gonna come along and we're gonna try to learn about this Christ. And on their own, they learned about Christ and they passed it on. Have a strong faith. Strong faith can be by itself. As far as humanly speaking. Because I remember hearing this growing up. You in Christ does make a majority. Right. You in Christ, you can handle all kinds of things. So have a strong faith. I think that you see this in this passage, that you see a mom and a grandma. And you see that it's pretty sincere faith. You see that it's a shaping, it's a steering faith. You see that it's a strong faith. But then the last thing, look at Acts 16. We're there in Acts 16. Notice what it says. Him, who's the him there? That's Timothy. Him would Paul have to go forth with him. And look at verse 4. And as they went through the cities. So this is the last thing that I see with Grandma Lois and Mama Eunice. It's a selfless faith. Now what does it mean here? What did Timothy end up doing? He ended up leaving mama and traveling for God. Serving God. Traveling city to city. I don't see mama going along. I mean, in the passage, you don't see, like, oh, son, why are you leaving me? I didn't raise you to leave like that. I don't see that. I don't see it anywhere in the Greek. All right. I don't see it anywhere in the text there. I'm not, I don't think I'm reading in between the lines when I see grandma and mom probably on their knees. Probably saying, praise God. We got a boy, and that boy wants to serve God, and he wants to be strong. He wants to be strong. He wants to preach the word. He wants to be instant, in season, out of season. Praise God. He might not have a dad that loves the Lord. He might not have a dad that likes God that much, but man, he's got a mother. He's got a grandmother that loves God. And Timothy caught that, and he said, all right, I don't know a lot, but I'm going to go. And I challenge you moms here. We have all kinds of excuses. Well, you don't know the circumstances. Doesn't seem like Timothy had a lot of great ones either. We come up with a lot of excuses. I'd say, why don't you just wrap them up and burn them and sit down with Jesus and sit down with his book. And what you'll find is there's a mission for motherhood. To have a sincere faith, have a shaping faith, have a strong faith, have a selfless faith. And that faith then sends out young people. To do what? To live this book. And to bring others into his kingdom. That's a mother. A mother that we should look up to. A lady named Betty wrote this about a mother's prayer. Since thou hast dared to trust me with this life's supremest good, let me be found trustworthy in the guard of motherhood. Keep me in touch with thy great love, so patient, sure, and wise, that I in seeing earthly deeds may look with heaven's eyes. Redeem the faults of thought and deed each poor example set. Upholds me for the sake of little minds that don't forget. Be thou my courage, strength of heart, my soul's upreaching way, that little feet which follow mine may not be led astray. God help us to have godly mothers.